It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, reigning in Cuomo.
This is not a partisan issue.
That is a top story at noon. The New York State Legislature could still vote this week to revoke Andrew Cuomo's pandemic powers in the aftermath of the nursing home scandal. State Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort.
This is the belief in our conference that the legislature has an important role to play. And the governor has shown a gross disrespect when he lies, when he withholds information. And he's not disrespecting just the people here. It's disrespectful to the people that we were elected to serve.
For the 15th time last night, a Republican effort to revoke the governor's emergency powers failed in the state Senate, with not one single Democrat voting for it. Despite that, Rob Ort says Andrew Cuomo has abused the power that was given to him at the start of the pandemic. Assembly Minority Leader Will Barclay says Cuomo's emergency powers are no longer needed and no longer earned.
And some people say, why now? Why are you pushing it right now? And I say this, better late than never. Better late than never. But this is the time. We don't need to wait any longer. This is the time to take away those executive powers from the governor.
Republicans in Albany have been pushing to rein in Governor Cuomo since late spring of last year, and the effort comes as a federal investigation into the state's COVID nursing home deaths continues. The governor blames former President Trump for the scandal that's gripped his state.
We have had requests from the Department of Justice since last year, when President Trump accused Democratic states of the COVID problem. Department of Justice then sent four states, Democratic states only, requests for information. That was back in August. So it's been ongoing since August.
Donna Johnson lost both her parents to COVID after they were sent to a nursing home instead of a hospital at the start of the pandemic. She says Governor Cuomo signed the death order for her loved ones and thousands of other families all across the state.
When he talks about nursing home patients, he acts like you go to a nursing home and you die. Big deal. You don't go to a nursing home and die. It's people's homes. Some of these nursing homes are rehab facilities, and there's people in their 30s and 40s and 50s, all ages in there. You don't go there to die.
Democratic Assemblyman Ron Kim launched the investigation into the governor after a top Cuomo aide admitted to withholding death data at nursing homes. Kim now calling for the governor to be impeached. New York City Councilman Joe Borelli says this governor is running out of time and friends.
You don't have any Democrats coming out and saying this is not the type of guy the governor is. It should strike people as odd that the leading candidate for governor has no people in his own party coming out to support him.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who faced his own criticism after jetting off to Cancun during last week's winter storm in Texas, says he apologized for his mistake. Cruz says he can't say the same, though, for Andrew Cuomo.
They lied. They covered up the policies that sent COVID-positive people into nursing homes and may well have resulted in the deaths of thousands or tens of thousands. Merrick Garland wouldn't commit to investigate it, and the media won't even cover it.
Cruz fears Andrew Cuomo will only get a slap on the wrist for the nursing home scandal. Democrats in Albany say they're willing to censure the governor, but it's still unclear if there is enough votes to revoke his pandemic powers. Investigating the riots. That is the other big story at noon, the spotlight squarely on the massive security failures during the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Two Senate hearings taking up the issue today.
To examine the breakdowns that allowed this terrible attack to occur and to ensure that an attack like this can never, ever happen again.
Michigan Democrat Gary Peters, current and former law enforcement officials all testifying today. This police officer says she has lasting scars, both emotionally and physically, from the attack.
I received chemical burns to my face that still have not healed to this day. I witnessed officers being knocked to the ground and hit with various objects that were thrown by rioters.
D.C. Police Chief Robert Conti says there were a host of security failures that day.
This assault on the Capitol has exposed weaknesses in the security of the most secure city in the country. The federal police forces in D.C. will be reexamining their security protocol.
Lawmakers also looking into why National Guard troops weren't summoned to the Capitol quicker that day to help out local police fight back the mob. One step closer, that $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill inching closer to the finish line after passing a House Budget Committee yesterday, sets up a full vote in the full House later this week.
We need Congress to pass my American Rescue Plan. It deals with the immediate crisis facing our small businesses. Now, critics say the plan is too big. But let me ask them a rhetorical question. What would you have me cut?
President Biden says his plan provides instant relief to hurting families. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says it's nothing more than a liberal wish list.
The money they're passing in this bill doesn't even come to fruition until another year going forward. It does nothing to help moving forward. It's what the Democrats always want to do, spend more money from a hardworking taxpayer. This is supposed to be a COVID bill. Only 9% of it goes to COVID.
Among the provisions in the American Rescue Package, paycheck protection money for Planned Parenthood, race-based loan forgiveness programs for farmers and ranchers, and $50 million for environmental justice projects. Last night, the president remembered the 500,000 Americans who've lost their lives to COVID-19.
I know it's hard. I promise you, I know it's hard. I remember. But that's how you heal. You have to remember.
A moment of silence was held last night at the White House, where 500 candles were lit to represent the 500,000 lives lost. 8 million Texans still have major issues with their water in the aftermath of last week's crippling winter storm. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says a state investigation is underway.
You want answers, and that's what we're going to get, and we're going to fix it.
Officials say the winter storm could end up being one of the costliest natural disasters to ever hit the state of Texas. Faulty fan blades on an engine could be to blame for why a United plane started shedding parts in flight over the weekend in Denver. Robert Sumwalt with the NTSB.
Regarding the fan blade that was fractured at the root, a preliminary on-scene exam indicates damage consistent with metal fatigue.
Boeing 777s with those engines are now being inspected. For the first time since the pandemic began, fans are being allowed back into indoor stadiums and arenas in New York. Correspondent Scott Pringle in the Big Apple for tonight's NBA game.
Well, large arenas and stadiums can bring in fans up to 10% capacity. The Barclays Center at Madison Square Garden welcoming fans for tonight's NBA basketball games. This guy's pumped.
I'm really excited to just be able to go to a game and sit down and enjoy it instead of putting it on the TV and, you know, yelling at the TV.
Now at the Barclays Center, Nets fans must complete a coronavirus at-home test, a questionnaire, and then take a second coronavirus test at the arena. Nets officials say tickets are starting at $150, which includes that COVID test at the arena.
That's Scott Pringle reporting. Still to come this Tuesday, new guidelines for nursing home visits in New York. The mayor of Buffalo running for a fifth term, and the Seneca Nation has got to pay up.
Well, a very good afternoon to all. We're looking at another fast-moving snow system crossing the area today. I'll have the latest coming up in the forecast. That's in about 10 minutes. See you then.
Thank you, Kevin. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Tuesday, February 23rd, the FBI continues its probe into whether the Cuomo administration underreported COVID deaths at nursing homes by intentionally withholding data from the public.
What many people in New York want, the loved ones of the victims of the governor's policy, want to get the truth out there. They want to know if the governor's March 25th order that compelled nursing homes to take COVID-infected patients caused harm to their loved ones.
Former Justice Department official John Dawkins, Cindy Lizzie, lost her mother to COVID in a nursing home back in April. She wants the governor to own his mistakes.
We want to know the truth, how it got in there. What are the real numbers? And if he made a mistake, which we know he did, he needs to own up to it.
New York Democrats calling for Cuomo to be censured, but have stopped short of removing his emergency powers. The New York State Health Department has updated the guidelines for visiting loved ones in nursing homes. For many folks, though, they don't think much is going to change.
I don't know what time we've got left with my dad. I want the opportunity to simply sit with him like I did before last March and hold his hand.
Michelle Layer's 91-year-old dad is in a nursing home in Williamsville, New York. She says for nearly a year now, the only way she can see him is through a window.
We stand at the window. We're bundled up. If my mom's there, I make sure I've shoveled a path for her up to the window.
Blair says she hopes to be able to touch and see her father again after new guidelines take effect this Friday. Under those guidelines, nursing home visits can take place in areas where the COVID infection rate is under 5%. In areas over that amount, but under 10%, folks need to get tested first. And in places where the COVID infection rate is over 10%, no visitation is allowed.
So it follows the CMS guidelines, goes into effect on Friday, and Department of Health has additional recommendations for additional precautions.
The governor says the state will be in charge of the COVID testing for nursing home visits. One rule that could prevent those visits, however, is this. If a nursing home has even a single positive case of COVID-19, no in-person visits can take place for at least 2 weeks. A federal appeals court has ruled that the Seneca Nation must pay over $400 million to state and local governments as part of an agreement that gave the Senecas exclusive rights to run casinos in western New York. Governor Cuomo hailing that decision says after years of delay, it's time the Seneca Nation follows the law and pays what they owe. Governor Tom Wolf took the wraps off his plan to get Pennsylvanians back to work post-pandemic.
Back to Work PA will assist the workers and business owners that have been most affected by the COVID-19 pandemic, using an extraction tax on the natural gas industry to fund a $3 billion investment in Pennsylvania's economic future.
The governor says taxing the gas industry will generate $300 million a year over the next 20 years. Republicans say it's the wrong move.
We don't want the natural gas companies to be fleeing Pennsylvania and cause our energy industry in the middle of winter to be suffering a crippling blow.
Jason Gottsman, spokesman for the House Republican Caucus, says the governor's plan to tax the natural gas industry will actually end up crippling the state's economy. 2 weeks after a grand jury threw out charges against two Buffalo police officers who pushed 75-year-old Martin Gugino to the ground during a Black Lives Matter protest last spring, Gugino has now filed a lawsuit against the Queen City and those two officers. Gugino suffered a fractured skull and spent 4 weeks in the hospital. The mayor of Buffalo running again. Family Life's Brendan Dixon.
Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown will run for a fifth term. The Queen City's leaders expected to make a formal announcement Thursday. No Buffalo mayor has ever served that long before. Brown, the city's first African-American mayor, was first elected back in November 2005. Brendan Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. We mentioned it earlier. Fans back in the stands indoors in New York. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, the big story, fans being allowed back into stadiums and arenas for the first time in New York State since the pandemic began.
I'm really excited to just be able to go to a game and sit down and enjoy it instead of putting it on the TV and, you know, yelling at the TV.
Large arenas and stadiums can bring in fans up to 10% of capacity. The Barclays Center in Brooklyn and Madison Square Garden will welcome fans for NBA games tonight. Yesterday, Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey said that fans can come back starting in March.
Large sports and entertainment venues with a fixed seating capacity of 5,000 or more people will be able to welcome a limited number of spectators beginning next Monday, March 1st.
On Twitter, New Jersey's hockey team celebrated the news, noting they'll host the New York Islanders the next night on March 2nd. There's a 10% capacity limit for indoor venues, 15% for outdoor venues. In addition, effective immediately, indoor and outdoor collegiate sports practices and competitions can allow two parents or guardians per athlete as spectators. On the ice, the Islanders edge the Sabres 3-2 on Long Island. Barry Trotz.
Special teams are huge, especially against Buffalo, who has such a great power play.
The Sabres have lost five of their last six games. Head coach Ralph Krueger.
This is, probably the most painful loss of the season for the way we were able to actually neutralize them, create opportunity, but come out on the short end of the stick again, and we have to be responsible for that.
Seattle Mariners president and CEO Kevin Mather resigned yesterday after comments he made at a Rotary Club earlier this month surfaced and received widespread backlash. Mariners chairman and managing partner John Stanton will act as the team's president and CEO until a replacement can be hired. In college basketball, Buddy Boeheim's 21 points, not enough. The Orange fall to Duke 85-71. The Albany women lose to Stony Brook 58-46. Asiana Johnson's 18 points led St. Bonaventure over Duquesne 72-55. Notre Dame beat Pitt 59-48. Lehigh crushes Lafayette 71-57. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, investigating the Capitol riots. A couple of hearings underway in D.C. The epidemic of loneliness in Japan. We'll explain. Plus, no legs, no problem. Meet the youngest person to ever go to outer space.
When Amazon bans a book, that might be a good sign you should read it. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Several months ago, I became aware that Amazon is now blocking the sale of books they deem dangerous to LGBTQ people. Some of these books, to be frank, are hateful and demeaning. But others were deemed hateful simply for questioning the dominant narratives about homosexuality, gay marriage, or gender dysphoria. The most recent book banned by Amazon is in that latter category, and it's among the most scholarly and thoroughly researched books on the issue of transgenderism. When Harry Became Sally, Responding to the Transgender Moment, was written by Ryan Anderson, who was recently named president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Anderson's book, along with Abigail Schreier's Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters, which surprisingly hasn't been blocked by Amazon yet, these are the two essential reads on the topic. What Anderson does so well in When Harry Became Sally is to articulate how transgender ideology is being advanced by misstatements and contradictions. We're told that children know if they're born in the wrong bodies, but anywhere from 80 to 95% of children who question their gender identity eventually outgrow those feelings. We're told that gender transition surgery is necessary because of the high suicide rates. But rather than reducing the risk among those who identify as transgender, transition surgery might even dramatically increase it. And when Harry Became Sally, Anderson shares stories of people who aren't even supposed to exist. Detransitioners are people who chose to identify and live as the opposite gender, often undergoing therapies and even surgeries, only to come to desperately regret their decision. Through science, philosophy, and with clear reason, When Harry Became Sally refutes the ideas that gender is a social construct, that sex isn't biological but something that's assigned at birth, and that the only way to help those who feel trapped in the wrong body is by altering the body and not the feelings. The best biology, psychology, and philosophy, writes Anderson, all support an understanding of sex as a bodily reality and an understanding of gender as a social manifestation of bodily sex. The case is so clear, in fact, that supporters of transgender ideology have resorted to relying on coercion, power, think about the Equality Act, and name-calling in order to just end the debate and to advance their cause. Enlisting corporations like Amazon, Facebook, and Twitter, well, that's proven particularly effective. Even so, too many Christians today still wonder why this issue even matters. Let me give you three reasons. First, because our bodies matter. To deny the body is to deny God's created order and His self-revelation as Redeemer. Second, transgender ideology specifically teaches children they were born wrong, and that rejecting their body, maybe even mutilating it, is the best way forward. Finally, allowing transgender ideology to go unchallenged, to hijack social justice movements, and to be legislatively forced on society through things like the Equality Act will roll back every achievement of women's protections and rights, especially in areas of privacy, education, and competition. You can pick up a copy of When Harry Became Sally, Responding to the Transgender Moment, at our online bookstore at breakpoint.org. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour, Tuesday afternoon, let's head outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast as our latest fast-moving snowmaker crosses the area with some nuisance snowfall. Travelers will be alert for roads that are mostly wet, but slippery in spots. The system's passage will allow milder air to move in. Temperatures tomorrow will reach their loftiest levels of the month today before colder air returns, more seasonal conditions, and a few flurries tomorrow night and Thursday. The call for this afternoon, cloudy, periods of snow mixed with rain, a slushy coating to an inch in spots across high ground of central New York, central eastern Pennsylvania, pretty much tapering farther west. High temperatures in the 30s with a gusty breeze. Leftover clouds tonight, low temps, mid-20s to low 30s. Then for tomorrow, mild. A little bit of sun, a lot of clouds, an afternoon rain shower to western New York with high temperatures in the 40s. Colder Thursday, morning flake flurries. Otherwise, sun and clouds and high temperatures, upper 20s to the middle 30s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, February 23rd. Expect a vote Friday or Saturday on the American Rescue Plan. That $1.9 trillion COVID relief package is chock full of goodies that are unrelated to the pandemic. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
It's what the Democrats always want to do, spend more money. Only 9% of it goes to COVID. What they are doing is telling you the swamp is back.
Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson.
This debt is going right on the backs of our children and our grandchildren, and it's a liberal wish list.
The Republican representative expects the measure to pass with zero GOP support.
And so they're using, sadly, the death of 500,000 Americans as cover for expanding their non-related liberal policy and spending.
Among the provisions in the American Rescue Package, paycheck protection money for Planned Parenthood, race-based loan forgiveness programs for farmers and ranchers, and $50 million for environmental justice projects. Today, the spotlight on the massive security failures during the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol.
When an angry, violent mob staged an insurrection on January 6th, it was not just an attack on the building. It was an attack on our republic itself.
Minnesota Democrat Amy Klobuchar says lawmakers want to know why it took so long to summon National Guard troops to the Capitol that fateful day. Former and current law enforcement officials all testifying at today's hearings. President Biden's pick for U.S. Attorney General is poised to be confirmed by the Senate next month. Merrick Garland says he won't commit, however, to investigating the COVID nursing home scandal facing New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
All of these investigations, the Justice Department is open to evidence of fraud, false statements, violations of the law. They normally begin in the appropriate way in the U.S. relevant U.S. Attorney's office. And that is the way that something like this, without commenting on this in particular, because I don't know the facts.
Former Justice Department official John Dawkins says it's vital Garland know the facts and know them soon.
Cuomo administration clearly stonewalled and did not produce data in response to the Department of Justice request for information. That request was made in October. The Cuomo administration did not produce any information, perhaps waiting for a change in the presidential administration.
A top aide to Governor Cuomo admitted earlier this month to withholding the number of nursing home deaths out of fear of a federal investigation under a Trump administration. Last night, an effort to revoke the governor's pandemic powers in Albany was shot down for a 15th time. Japan has appointed a minister of loneliness to address the chronic depression that has set in there as the COVID pandemic approaches its one-year anniversary. More people died from suicide in Japan in October than the total number of COVID deaths up to that point. Japan's new loneliness minister plans to convene an emergency meeting this week to talk about ways to stem the tide of suicide. The wife of Mexican drug kingpin El Chapo Guzman, now in U.S. custody in Virginia. Jack Riley is a retired DEA official. He says the 31-year-old former beauty queen has been under investigation for a long time.
She was clearly exposed to all of the things that Chapo was in control of, the movement of narcotics across the border into the United States, and obviously the flow of money back.
Authorities also believe she helped plot El Chapo's escape from a Mexican prison 6 years ago. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report, a Tuesday edition on Family Life. Another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Josh Hatcher from Bradford, Pennsylvania. He's teaching men how to be men. This is a fascinating topic, especially these days when you almost have to apologize for being a man. Men, it seems to me, are constantly ridiculed and put down because of this politically correct world that we live in. Now, you mentor men. What do you tell them?
The key of what we're trying to do is to help men be better men. I think that we do have a culture that says to them, being a man is bad, that being male is a patriarchal, controlling, evil thing. And it shouldn't be that way. That's not the way this is supposed to work. We're made different and unique. And so I want men to know it's okay to be who you are and who God made you to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that you see on TV, every television dad is a bumbling idiot.
We've gone somehow from Clark Gable and Cary Grant to Homer Simpson. When you look at how men are looked at in today's society, what are you hearing from most men today, Josh?
So many men are not sure how to parent their children, how to love and lead their wives. And I can't tell you how many men whose wives have left because there's no emotional connection between them, and how many parents I've talked to, how many dads that they don't understand what to do and their kids are in trouble again.
And then you throw this pandemic on top of everything that men have to go through, and it's some difficult waters to navigate. I was kind of checking you out online. It sounds kind of creepy, but in a good way. And you've got an amazing story, Josh. Just looking at the before and after pictures of you, quite a transition there, dropping 100 pounds. First off, congratulations. That's an awesome accomplishment there.
Thanks. That's definitely the start of it. It's funny because during the pandemic, I put some of that back on, but not all of it.
Join the club.
It's a lot harder to be disciplined when the whole world is out of order. You know,
So
I'm working on it, and that's one of the things I tell the guys too. Is look, like, I am not perfect. I'm not some guy that's coming in here and telling you, hey, live your life like me. I'm saying, here we are, men. Where do we go from here? And I think we're working on it together. I get as much out of the conversations and relationships that have kind of grown out of this than I get as much out of it as they do. Men need a brotherhood. You know, we're meant to be in a band of brothers where we strive and fight and work hard and do hard things.
Yeah.
That's how we become more confident. You do hard things.
Sure.
And if you fail, then you do it again, and then you learn.
And I want to kind of hold men's feet to the fire here, because in a lot of ways we're responsible for this lack of respect, and that we have to live up to what it means to be a godly man, godly husband. But I look at some guys today, and I'm saying to myself, come on, you know, step up.
Yeah, I actually, I talked about this on an upcoming podcast that I recorded, but I talked about that victimhood that we can fall into, and we look at what our culture is doing to us, and then we start to complain and feel oppressed. And then the other path that we often take is we just give up. We just resign ourselves.
Yeah.
And I've been there. I have been there. It's time to say that it's good to be a man.
And I feel like we're kind of going against the tide here, like this snowball. You talk about the feminization of our culture. This snowball has already started rolling downhill. Are we too late to stop this, Josh, in your opinion, or can we right this ship?
What it comes down to is we have to look at our circle. It's really easy to look out across the nation or the world or even your region, and you see all these problems, and then you focus on, oh, I can't fix this problem. But you know what? You can fix the problem in your house.
Yeah.
You know, you can reach your children. You're the gatekeeper of your home, and what comes in through media and the doors of your home, that's up to you.
Pennsylvania, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast as our latest fast-moving snowmaker crosses the area with some news and snowfall. Travelers will be alert for roads that are mostly wet but slippery in spots. The system's passage will allow milder air to move in. Temperatures tomorrow will reach their loftiest levels of the month today before colder air returns, more seasonal conditions, and a few flurries tomorrow night and Thursday. The call for this afternoon, cloudy, periods of snow mixed with rain, a slushy coating to an inch in spots across the high ground of central New York, central eastern Pennsylvania, pretty much tapering farther west. High temperatures in the 30s with a gusty breeze. Leftover clouds tonight, low temps, mid-20s to low 30s. Then for tomorrow, mild. A little bit of sun, a lot of clouds, an afternoon rain shower to western New York with high temperatures in the 40s. Colder Thursday, morning flake flurries. Otherwise, sun and clouds and high temperatures, upper 20s to the middle 30s.
All righty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noontime, a bone cancer survivor with prosthetic leg bones is set to become the youngest American ever in outer space. Haley Arsenault says getting there has been a dream of hers ever since she was a young child.
I actually visited NASA in Houston a few months before I was diagnosed with cancer.
Arsenault was 10 at the time, and soon after that, she was fighting for her life. She beat cancer, and now at the age of 29, she's getting ready for the trip of a lifetime.
I can't go skiing. I can't jump on trampolines. I can't jump out of an airplane.
But in space...
In space, I'll have no limitations. You know, being in zero gravity.
The man paying the bill is billionaire Jared Isaacman, who will also be on the flight, which is part of Elon Musk's private SpaceX program.
I definitely do have some limitations, but it doesn't stop me.
A liftoff scheduled for this fall. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for joining us today. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.